Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today is God's Word and the Epistle from the Epistle to the Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I'm going to read again verses 1 and 2 to start. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. What is faith? What is faith? This chapter of Hebrews, chapter 11, is sometimes called the faith chapter of the Bible. Like 1 Corinthians 15, it's called the love chapter. Well, today you get the faith chapter. But neither 1 Corinthians 15 says everything that there is to say about love, nor Hebrews 11 says all that there is to know about faith. Although they say a lot. But they're not exhaustive. They have to be read in the context of the whole book, and indeed, the context of the whole Bible. The short answer to both of these, what is love? What is faith? They both point to Christ. If you want to know what love is, look at Christ. If you want to know what faith is, well, let's talk about faith. The first verses here give us a little definition of faith. You've probably heard it before. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Okay. Well, that's a definition, but a lot of times people take that definition and they stop there. That's all that they hear at the beginning of Hebrews 11 here, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the things, faith in a reality or trust in a reality that's not perceived. You can't see, you can't touch, you can't prove it. Okay. Is that all there is to faith? No. So we keep reading. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie City Slickers. Have you seen that movie where these three guys, midlife crisis type guys from New York City, they go out west to a dude ranch. I guess you call it a dude ranch, where they have horses and you get to drive cattle. That you pay to drive cattle. Well, anyway, they go out there and they meet a guy named Curly, who's like the cowboy of cowboys, right? And he has this gruff voice, and he can handle a horse and cattle and other cowboys and keep them in line. And he gets involved with one of the main characters who, they get kind of separated from the rest of the group. They're out chasing after some cattle, and they stay overnight together, and they kind of bond, okay? That's, you know, Hollywood, right? And the name of this cowboy is Curly. And Curly says to Mitch, the other main character, he says, the secret of life is... And Mitch is just like, oh, okay, this is what I came to find out, okay? And this will handle my midlife crisis. I'll know what to do now, okay? The secret of life, Curly says, the secret of life is one thing. And he puts his finger up like that, one thing. Okay, right. Mitch is like, okay, what is it? What is it? What is the one thing? He says, Curly says, that's what you have to figure out for yourself. Okay, well, is that helpful? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Well, what is it? What is it that you put your faith in? The true answer is Christ alone. Okay, you know that. That's a short part of the sermon. You know that. But what about the rest? What about these examples of faith that are given here in Hebrews chapter 11 that Bob read earlier? By faith, Abel offered the sacrifice that was pleasing to God. By faith, Enoch pleased God, walked with God, and was taken up. By faith, Noah constructed an ark in reverent fear. By faith, Abraham left his homeland and went to a foreign land. He went to a place, God said, go to the place that I will show you. God didn't say it like, well, go north and go west a little bit, and then when you get to the end of the river, turn left. He said, go to the place I will show you. And Abraham went. And by faith, Sarah conceived when she was well past the age, 90. Well past the age. So the question that I have for you today is, when you stand before Christ on the last day, with me, I hope, what will be said about you? By faith, Jeff blank. What? Put your name in there. By faith, what did you do? By faith, Stephen and Charlie and Laura and Emma and Matthew and Rachel went to New Orleans and worshiped God with 25,000 other Christians. By faith, you are here today. It's not an accident. God moved you here today. Maybe some of you, with the help of your parents, God moved them by faith to get you here. By faith, you're here to hear the Word of God, receive the gifts of God. That's what you come here for. The gifts of God from His holy Word, from His body and blood given for you on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. That's what you're here for, you. That's what you're here for. So you know what that one thing is. That's Christ alone. So you know what the object of your faith is. I don't know if you guys are going to watch the Olympics this week. I am. But one of my favorite sports to watch is rowing. I used to be a rower in college, and so I like watching the rowing events. And you guys, maybe some people think it's boring. You know, all they do is this. Well, watch, if you can, this week, or maybe it's next week, watch the single sculls event, okay? Just one guy in a boat all by himself, okay? And he's got two oars to pull on, right? He's got to pull on both oars equally strongly, okay? The oars have to go in the water at the same time, and they have to push the same amount of water back at the same time, as in synchronized as you can make it be. Okay? Because what happens if you only have one oar in the water? If you only have your starboard oar in the water, no matter how hard you pull, you're going to go in a circle. Same thing if you have your port oar in the water. No matter how hard you pull, you're going to go in a circle. If you're an Olympian, maybe among the greatest athletes in the world, you only have one oar in the water, you're still going to go in a circle. Maybe a little faster than me, but you'll still go in a circle. My point is, you have to have both oars in the water. So with faith, you have to understand what the object of your faith is, Jesus Christ, and what He has done for you, which is a big thing. The assurance of things not seen, conviction of things hoped for but not perceived. Trust in a reality that you can't touch or see. And action. What does that do in your life? How does knowing that shape your life? That's the other or. By faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Sarah did that. By faith, Abel and Noah and Enoch did X, Y, and Z. What is it for you? What is it for you? By faith, God brought you here. By faith, what is he going to do in your life tomorrow? Now, you might think that some of the things that you do in your life are not that big a deal. Lighting candles today. Thank you for doing that. No one else would have done that. Well, maybe somebody would have, but Sammy did that. By faith, Sammy lit candles today to the glory of God. Tomorrow, if you get up and go to work, by faith, do that to the glory of God. Do you realize how much power is in that? You are shaping the world by what you do in your life. Now, God is not asking you to construct an ark. He's not going to say, Jeff, go construct an ark tomorrow. At least I don't think he will. What is he asking you to do in your life? To raise your sons and daughters in Christ? To bring them here? To share with them the Word of God? To share Christ with somebody in your life? Could be. Maybe your life is not so easy. Maybe you're retired and you're not going to work tomorrow. Well, are you going to pray tomorrow? Can you pray tomorrow for someone who needs prayer? Believe me, there are people in this congregation who need prayer. Your pastor does, for sure. Just about everybody. In fact, I will say everyone here needs prayer. Can you pray for someone? Yes. And maybe you've suffered loss in your life. Grievous loss. Or maybe you have someone in your life who's suffering in a way that it's hard to see how God's kingdom is happening in the midst of the suffering. And your eyes are straining to see that. Or maybe your eyes are clouded by the promises of this world, false promises, promises of happiness. You can get your happiness in wealth, work hard and get real rich. Or false promises of popularity. Be popular. That'll make you happy. Will it? For a while? Maybe you seek after promise of happiness and your own passions and desires. I don't know. Those are false promises, though. And you'll spin in a circle. If that's your one thing, you're going to spin in a circle and you're going to find the end of the road, it was a false promise. You were lied to. But if Christ is your center, if Christ is your one thing, Christ alone, you have the true center. If you have faith in that, and that is what shapes your life, you're rowing with both oars. You're going to go in a straight line. You're going to go to some place that means something. A place, well, Jesus calls it the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem that's part of the new creation. Life in a resurrected form. Without corruption, without suffering, without death, without false promises, and all the things that they lead to. But truth and love. And all these things that we live through these days will be gone. We will live in truth and love. And you can start that today. In fact, you have started it today. If you're baptized, you're living in that today, even if you don't know it. You might think, oh, Pastor, I don't know how much faith I have. Well, if you're worried about that, don't worry. If you believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior, it says in Romans 9, you're saved. Okay? If you spend all your time saying, I just need more faith, I just need more faith, I just need more faith, I need to have a more authentic faith. I have one oar in the water, and I'm spinning around in a circle. Jesus says that faith the size of a mustard seed can do what? It can move mountains. That mountain of suffering in your life or in somebody else's life that you know. That mountain of sin that you're stuck in that you can't seem to get out of. That mountain of despair, why is this happening, Lord? That can be moved by faith. And it's not just what I'm doing, it's what God is doing. What God is doing in my life. You think constructing an ark is easy? Noah didn't do that on his own. You think moving to a foreign land that you don't even know, you don't know what language they speak, you've never been there before, you think that was easy for Abraham? How much faith does it say Abraham had? Did it say that in Genesis 15? How much faith? He had X bushels of faith. He had 14 bushels of faith. That's much faith he had? No. He had enough faith to move him. You think he had doubts? You can have doubts. Okay. But move in faith. Move in faith. Dear Christian friends, there's many things going on in your lives today. I know that. But let Christ be part of it. Let Him move you. Let Him help you. Let Him give you His momentum. Live in that. Let faith in Him shape your life so that you're not doing it alone. You don't have to do it alone. Do it in Christ, who loves you beyond all measure. So much that He gave His Son to die for you and to rise for you so that you too will rise. In Jesus' name, Amen.